Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in God's presence this evening? I heard some of the feedbacks and I was so blessed. Amen. I was so blessed. I think we should be doing this. Hallelujah. Even at this stage, even though we have not finished, I think we should be doing this. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow, we are going to be doing verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at chapter 1 to 3. You don't want to miss it. Because when you do verse-by-verse study, what happens is that you bring out a lot of lessons. When you focus on a topic, you just deal with one issue. But when you do a verse-by-verse study, you deal with a lot of issues. So tomorrow, I want you to set your heart, amen, as we come to do just that. Hallelujah. One of the things that blessed me in the feedbacks that we received was when one of us talked about the fact that I talked about the difference between head knowledge of the word and when the word goes into your spirit becomes a revelational knowledge. Praise God. Now, so I just want to say this. The movement between having head knowledge of the word and the word becoming a revelation is meditation. The bridge between just information and revelation is meditation. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you want to come into a revelation of an information that is the word of God, what you need to do is that you need to learn to meditate on the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you see, Jesus said, the letter killeth. So you can hear a word, and when it is information, it's just letter. So the Bible says the letter killeth, but it is the spirit that giveth life. Hallelujah. Amen. So how many of you have seen either a granite or bean seed before? How many of us have seen a granite or bean seed? I think they call them dicotyledons, right? So they have two parts. Is that right? Now when you open it, you will see a small one, funny looking thing, you know, there. Is that right? Now, how many of you know that the life of that thing is in that small? Is that right? When you plant it, where the plant, the part that the plant grows from, is that small portion. So the real life of that seed is in that thing, that small thing that's in between. Are you understanding that? Now, that is how the word of God is. Are you hearing me? When you hear the word of God, what you are seeing is that flesh. Are you getting me? It is meditation that takes you into that part that gives life. Are you understanding me? So the letter killer, that flesh, there's nothing, it's just flesh. That portion. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. Are you understanding that? So it is meditation that brings out that kernel, that spirit that is inside it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you must, if you want to transmit any word of God, if you stay long enough meditating the word, the spirit that is in that word is going to come out. And let me say this, that you will actually not have much benefit. You see, there are only majorly two benefits you get from what is called the logos. That is the fleshly part. Two benefits. One is that it can help you morally. Are you hearing me? Do not steal, do not kill, do not. So it can help you morally. Are you understanding me? And you need to know the words at an intellectual level or at head knowledge before you can move into meditation. Are you understanding that? But what really brings transformation and what really brings results is the revelation. Because it is the revelation of the word that produces faith in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is the revelation that produces faith in you. So when scripture says faith cometh by hearing, it's not just the hearing of the logos. It is the hearing of the rhema. And that happens in your spirit man. It's not what the person is saying on the microphone. Listen to me. I can be speaking right now. Are you hearing me? But you can be hearing something completely different from what I'm saying. The Spirit of God will be highlighting certain things and showing you certain things, bringing certain information to you. In fact, it can be giving you assignments. That is why, you see, there are three things you write. This is your jota that you used to come to church with all the time. There are three types of information that you must have in that jota every time you sit down to listen to the word of God. Number one, you write what the person is saying. Is that right? For the purpose of reference. Are you getting my point? For the purpose of reference. Then, you write the revelations that God is done. That's the most important thing you are going to write. What you are gaining from what the person is saying. That means that the person may be saying something, you know, teaching something. But out of it, are you hearing me? God is bringing out something deeper, something wider, sometimes something even completely different from what the person is saying. God is using what the person is saying and connecting it with an issue in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then are you getting what I'm saying? Then suddenly, you know, you are beginning to have an insight. God is connecting a challenge with what the person is saying. So you sometimes, when you rise up to give a testimony, if the person that taught, that did the teaching, where you got a revelation, even him, he is surprised that this was what you heard in what he taught. Because what he taught might have been something different. He can be talking on finance, you will get a word that will bring healing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He may be talking about something different, but that is why. But when you sit under the anointing, when the word of the Lord is being released in your direction, God is translating or transliterating what is being spoken into a particular situation that is in your life. And the third thing you write are the assignments that God is giving you. Because once you hear the word of God becomes an assignment to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is how, listen to me, that is how people make transitions. It is the reason why you can have two people sit in the same church under the same pastor, listening to the same word, but the life of one person is making great progress and the life of another person is on a slow motion. The reason is that Mark chapter 4 verse 26 says to us, and he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how. So go back to chapter 20. Let's start from 24. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought, that is meditation. The measure of thought and study. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I have a very interesting system. When I come to church, is that okay? If I attend a meeting where I take down notes. So this is my practice. I don't go to bed that day until I have read that thing, until I have studied that thing. Because many of us have this thing that we have never checked. In fact, one of the things that I don't like about church is when people carry big journals. Because many times there are people seated right here that in the past 3 or 4 months, you have not checked that journal that you are carrying. You have not opened it. The only time you open it, you know, it has become a religion. This thing we are carrying has become a religion. We hardly ever open it. So the Bible says that the amount, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear, which means all of us can hear the same truth, but all of us may not produce the same results. The difference is the amount of what? Thought and study. Is that right? That you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue. The word virtue there means power. Are you understanding that? Will determine the measure of power and knowledge that comes back to you. Which means that I can hear something, sir, and I don't know it. No, you didn't hear what I said. It is possible to hear something, but you have not known it. I started talking to you about the word knowledge in scripture, and the word knowledge is the word yada. And it is the same word that is used for sexual intercourse in scripture. So when the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife, is that all right? So when the Bible says, you shall know the truth, it's the same word, yada. Now that word yada means an intimate and experiential knowledge. Not just head information, but it is an intimate and experiential knowledge. So, it is possible for somebody to hear something and yet he has not had an intimate and experiential knowledge. That he has not experienced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He has not experienced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Only Pastor Uche knows faith. All of us here, if you say you know her, including her sister, you are lying. Or let me not say you are lying, but let me say you only have a limited knowledge of her. There are certain things he knows about her. In the next 10 years, 20 years, you will never know. In fact, for a lifetime, you may never know. Because your knowledge of her is head knowledge. There is an intimacy he has that you don't have. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So, when the Bible uses the word virtue and knowledge, it means that there's a level of intimacy you will come into the knowledge of God when you give thought and study to it. And that is where your breakthrough begins. Breakthrough, are you hearing what I'm saying? Breakthrough begins at the point when a man has given himself to the word. Now that word, are you hearing me, sir? Does not become something separate from him. When you go into that level, into that dimension of not of thought, is that okay? That is meditating on the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What happens is that the word becomes one with you. It becomes a reality to you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So it becomes so much of a reality that scripture in the book of John speaks about it. It says, and the word became flesh. To another person, it is not. But to you, it is. Because you have come to a degree of intimacy with it. Is anybody hearing me? That is why when a word actually affects you or hits you, you discover that there is something on the inside of you. When people jack up from their seats in response to a word, that word has become something to them. When you are in a meeting and then the word is being taught, and you see somebody stands up and begins to walk around, you will notice that you disconnect from what the man on stage is talking about. And then you are talking to something that none of the people in that place is connected to what you are. That word has become flesh. That word is now talking to you and you to him. Then you will understand what Jesus meant. He said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone opens, I will come in and I will sup with him and him with me. So you have entered into another dimension. And it's critical that you understand that. That is the realm where results begin to happen. That's the realm where results begin to happen. That's the realm where men change dimensions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how men change levels. In the kingdom of God, we don't change level because we bought a new car. That's not a change of level. You have not changed level because you have a house, because you marriage does not make you have not changed levels. Sorry, you can even marry and get into greater trouble, but we change level by revelation. Paul said, "I went up to Jerusalem by revelation." Listen, he didn't say revelation took, he didn't say I climbed revelation. There was a revelation he received. As a result of that revelation, it was necessary that he moved to the, are you hearing what I'm saying? Before that day, sir, he didn't sit with the elders. But there was a revelation that took him to where the elders sit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. So yesterday we broke off at the point where we began to talk about where, you know, we were connecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we said that the Holy Spirit is the engine, is the person that through him we produce, the kingdom-based results. And it is produced as a result of his governing influence in our lives. Hallelujah. As a result of his governing power and influence in our lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that everywhere you go, you are a carrier of the kingdom of God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So results become normal to you. Hallelujah. Results become normal to you. Amen. And it becomes a daily part of your life. Now let us go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I would like us to read it from the Amplified Bible, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. The word power that is used in that place is the word dunamis. Hallelujah. Is the word what? Dunamis. Now, the word dunamis in the Greek is, there are many words for power, but the word dunamis, which comes from the word dynamo. Hallelujah. Have you ever gone to what do you call this now? Mining. I know more of it. What do you call it? This dam. Have you gone to a dam before? Now, the way dam produces power is that the water that is moving begins, I may not put it correctly, is that right? So those of you who have done physics or something, don't crucify me. So as the water is passing, are you hearing me? The water is causing certain things to turn. Is that okay? As they turn, they also turn that dynamo. So that dynamo is the one that is producing the power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, James talks about this power. In the book of James, he says, James chapter 5, it says, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man produces much power. The Amplified says, dynamic in its working. Is that right? Dynamic in its working. Now, that word, when they say something is dynamic in the way it works, it means that it has many capacities, many abilities, diverse operations. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When something is dynamic in the way it works, are you understanding me? When something, like for instance, your phone, your handset is dynamic. There are many things that your handset can do. Many of us have not used maybe 10% or 15% of the capacities that our handsets have. Praise God. Are we understanding that? Many of us have not used 10 or 15% of the capacities that our handsets have. In fact, you know, Nigerians are very, very interesting. You know, only a Nigerian a Nigerian now is moving, he can have his laptop, his tablet, and his assets all together. Hallelujah. All together. And all of them have very similar capabilities. Hallelujah. Most of them have very similar capabilities. Recently, I was holding my handset and I think I mistakenly touched something on it. And it was recording my speech and translating into text. Amen? And translating into text. So when I discovered that, it became very easy for me to make my teaching notes. Is that right? All I have to do is to talk into the phone. So whatever idea I want to share, I say into it, it translates into text for me automatically. Now, when it says it is dynamic, are you hearing me? That means it has many functionalities. It has many capacities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that you shall receive power, the word used for power there is the word dynamo. Are we together? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the word what? Dynamo. And the word, is the word dunamis, taken from dynamo. Is that right? And it says, dynamic power to create change. Hello, are we together? So, dynamic, the word dynamo means what? Dynamic power to what? To create change. So, please listen very carefully. So, the Bible says you shall receive power. Is that right? That means that you will receive the capacity, or let's look at it from the Amplified, but you shall receive what? Power. That is what? Ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is the very boundaries of the earth. Hallelujah. Now I want you to hear me very well. Tonight we are looking at the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now listen very well. There are two baptisms majorly in Scripture. There are many baptisms. But there are two major baptisms in Scripture, which is the baptism by water and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or also known as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Now, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. The baptism in water is symbolic in nature. Are you hearing me? It's symbolic in nature. That is that when you are baptized in water, the meaning of the fact that you are baptized in water is that you want to tell the world that you identify with Christ. Is that right? That you are now a Christian. Are you getting my point? But the baptism in the Spirit is functional in nature. Hallelujah. That means that the baptism in the Spirit has functionality. It has functional uses in your life. So the baptism that actually produces results, so to speak, in your life is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I said to you something yesterday. I said the baptism in the Holy Spirit is what gives you what? The capabilities. Is that right? It gives you what? The capabilities that the Holy Spirit has. When God wants to bring in certain abilities into your life, is that right? So that scripture says, and you shall receive, remove the word power there, and you shall receive what? Ability. And many people are careless. And let me tell you something. One of the things that the enemy has done to weaken the body has been to sell the idea that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not for today's believer. And it has been taken as a doctrine in many places. It is so serious
that I am even surprised that in today somebody can believe that kind of thing. Having seen all that has been achieved and has been arrived at as a result of men walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, as a result of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you had two classmates, if you are in class together, you are students in the same class, and somebody, and let's say you are 30 students, and somebody who used to come number 20, are you getting me? Suddenly begins to come number 5, and then comes number 4, and then comes number 2. Yeah, are you getting me? And you ask the person, what happened to you? And the person said, there's this lesson I used to attend. After, are you getting my point? And then 15 out of the 30 students start attending that class. And all of them moved from the back of the class and came to the front. Shouldn't you also try and check out what is happening in that lesson? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That the church can still in today believe that that speaking in tongues does not belong to the church of today. Something is very wrong. So the prince of this world has blinded the eyes. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a matter of spiritual warfare. Satan is fighting somebody. Satan is fighting large swaths of the body, so that they are not able to come into kingdom living, into the destiny that God has for them in the things of the kingdom, by ensuring that a major portion of what has been given to us, those people do not come into that inheritance. Hallelujah. But you shall receive what? Ability. You shall receive ability. You shall receive power. You shall receive efficiency. You shall receive might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That is what happens to you. Something happens about your Christian life. Something that, listen, we're going to look at it this morning, this evening. Hallelujah. So, it is the baptism in the Holy Spirit that connects the capabilities of the Holy Spirit with you. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 12. John chapter 16, verse 12. John 16, 12. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to talk or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. Next verse. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole, the full. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Now listen to me very carefully. The first thing that happens to your life when you receive the infilling of the Spirit is that your capacity is enlarged. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Your spiritual capacity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your spiritual capacity becomes enlarged. Listen to me. I don't want to say, I'm doing a course. And the course is majorly what we call orthodox. Is that right? And they will give you handouts, right? And you will have 15 pages. And in that 15 page, there are only 2 scriptures inside. But they probably have quoted like 7 philosophers or 8 philosophers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They have quoted. So, listen to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now I can understand why they don't have anything to teach. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no capacity. There's no capacity. Listen to me. That is why even in prayer there's no capacity. In fact, let me tell you, even though the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the initial place it begins to affect you is in prayer, one of the places where your capacity begins to be enlarged is your capacity to actually pray. When you become filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to me, anybody that is struggling to pray is either not filled with the Holy Spirit or has not dedicated himself to the assignment of prayer. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, many of us are struggling with laziness in the place of prayer. Now, there's a difference between laziness in the place of prayer and not being filled or being filled. Because you can be filled and be lazy. That's not what we're talking about. But I'm saying that when you become filled with the Holy Spirit, your capacity to pray is enlarged. Your capacity to hear God, are you hearing me? Because you're going to see, what happens is that your spirit, listen, your spirit becomes more activated, your spirit becomes more alive. So scripture will say to us that if the spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead be in you, it will what? It will quicken. There's a sharpening of your ear. There's a sharpening. So scripture will say to you, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, God wants, listen to me, you have to understand kingdom life. Because kingdom life is that you are the child of the king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are the child of the king, and you are the child of the king, and the king has given you a kingdom to oversee. And that then means that you must be receiving instruction from the king. That is why he says he opens my ear morning by morning. He opens my ear to hear. But listen to me. If your hearing ear, I don't know how to put it for you. There's what is, are you hearing what I'm saying? Your ear that must hear is your spirit. When you become filled with the Holy Spirit, that ear becomes more active, more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, you have the capacity to hear what other people are not hearing. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you today? So scripture will say to you, he that has an ear. How many people have ears? You see, everybody has this physical, but not everybody has the spiritual. Now, what quickens that spiritual ears of yours is your baptism in the Holy Spirit. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to them? So the first thing that happens to you is that your capacity is increased, is enlarged to walk with God. Is anybody hearing me? It is tongues, praying in other tongues builds your spiritual life. It builds your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4. And I'm going to dwell a little bit here because I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. But he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose, edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom. Now look at it. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and what? And improves himself. Listen to me very carefully. That word edified, used in that place, is the Greek word oikodemeo. It means that you have become a builder. So he that prays in other tongues, actually it means three things. It means a builder. It means somebody who fixes or corrects something that is bad. Are you hearing me? It means somebody who decorates. So when I came into this understanding, I discovered that sometimes you are praying in the spirit and you just feel detained to pray in the spirit. What is happening is that God is fixing something. Oh, you are not understanding what I'm saying. Because when you pray in the spirit, I'm going to say something. When you pray in the spirit, are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says, he that prays in the spirit speaketh mysteries unto God. Which means that there's a conversation going on between you and God about something. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Let me put it this way. When you pray in the spirit, how many of you, when you have a phone, right? from time to time, if you are using a particular product, they will send you what updates. Is that all right? Now, how many of you, when they send you the update, you have to click on it, update, right? How many of you know what your phone is updating? He that prayeth in the spirit speaketh mysteries.
Yes, sir.
His mind is unfruitful. His mind doesn't know it. But there's a transaction that is going on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this is how Joseph Prince said, beyond just your spirit man, the Bible says, he that speaks in a strange tongue edifies himself. He said, when he said that word himself, he was not just talking about your spirit man. He was also talking about your body. Because the word edify is taken from the word edifice. And he said, the Bible says that your body is the temple of God. So Joseph Prince said that people that spend time praying in tongues don't fall sick easily. He said, because the word used there is not actually the word edifice, is talking about your body. And he said, your body, when you make reference, I said, your body is the temple of God. So though the instrument that is at work is your spirit, but it affects your physical body. And let me tell you, I can testify to that. He that prayed in tongues, he improves himself. Listen to me. Do you know, sir? You can take up praying in tongues. It can improve your intellectual capacity. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? It improves you. So, in the book of Isaiah 28, let's look at Isaiah 28 verse 11. No, but the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way. By men with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Next verse. To whom he said, this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear. Listen to me. Whenever you are confused, whenever you are under stress, how many of you remember what Prophet Adam said? He said, rest is not when you go and lie down. Rest is what? Rest is doing Holy Spirit inspired activity. The number one Holy Spirit inspired activity is praying in tongues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When something brings fear to your heart, listen to me. Your response is matrolebrekoshe branda basokot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, with this, look at it. To whom he said, this is the rest. You know, he talks about with stammering tongues. This is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. When you get into a situation that you are confused, your first response, are you hearing what I'm saying? Your first response is not, are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you, if you go and then your body begins to do somehow, you go to YouTube to go and check this symptom. Jude 20. Listen to me. If there's an issue in your life that is a problem, let me give you a counsel. Take that matter. Are you hearing me? Go to God. Every day, pray in the spirit 30 minutes to 1 hour. Because when something is a problem, it means you don't know how to go out of it. So when you don't know what to do, switch into the spirit. Because there's no need praying in your understanding. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? You are already confused about the situation. So there's nothing in your understanding that can deal or can relate to that situation. So are you hearing what I'm saying? When you are looking for the answer to a problem, switch into the spirit. Take up this matter and pray in tongues about it. Leave concerning that matter, your understanding has failed you already. So it demands that you also switch into something that is beyond your understanding. The wisdom for that situation is beyond your understanding. So wisdom then demands that you must switch into a realm that your understanding also cannot be able to access. But yet, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Give me the Amplified. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. Pray in the Holy Ghost. How do you make progress? In Bosabara Dokosete Nebroshanda. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How do you make progress? Listen to me. I'm going to be teaching a series very soon. And the series is how all things work out well. How all things work out well. So let me share a snippet. Romans chapter 8. Give me verse 25. Romans chapter 8. Give me verse 25, King James. Let me show you something. Kai, if you knew God, you will calm down. See, you know, but if we hope for that we do not see, then do we hope with patience wait for it? Yes. Let's continue. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. No. Go to verse 27. I will come back here. Go to verse 27. I'm looking for something. Now, something I'm looking for. Now listen. If you go to verse 26, go to verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth what? Our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. You actually think you know what you should be praying for. So let me share something. The first time I appeared in court, there was a particular relief I was looking for. But I did not know that what I was filing the wrong thing. And you know, you file your this thing, the judge looks at, are you getting me? So when you come to make your pleadings, is that right? The judge is looking at, he's looking at what you filed. And he's looking at what you are saying. And the judge is coming to a conclusion that what you filed and what you are saying are two different things. So the judge kept sending me back. I didn't know why the judge was sending me back. I eventually got to realize the wisdom. I was almost offended. I thought the judge didn't like me. I didn't know. Of course, I was a rookie. I didn't know that the judge was trying to give to signal me that the matter what you have presented before me, from what you are saying, what you have presented before, and the judge will not work with what I'm saying. He will work with what I have presented. For we know not what to pray for. I'm trying to show you something. We know not what to pray for. It's not only that we know not what to pray for. Give me the Amplified. We know not what to pray for. Give me the amplifier quickly. Likewise, so in the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. Why? We do not know what prayer to offer. You know, but sometimes you, in your wisdom, you actually think that you are making sense. We do not know the prayer to offer. To offer it as we should. But the Spirit Himself knows our needs and knows the need at the right time. Intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for us. So, why I called you was that I needed you to confirm the fact that you can bring a matter, but your intention. That's why sometimes you take a lawyer to court and your own lawyer is the one that caused trouble for you. Because he is filing the, thank you, sir. The relief he's looking for and what is filed are two different things. So the Bible, when God wants to help you, is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So when you switch into the Spirit, it is actually God helping you. Now listen to me. You will not understand verse 28 if you don't understand this. Because verse 28 is actually a response to verse 26. Let's go to verse 27. So this is verse 26. Let's go to verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because the Spirit intercedes before God on the behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. Now, do you know something? God is not committed to you. God is committed to his will. We established it yesterday that he's committed to his agenda. So, the fact that you are crying does not make God... Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God responds to crying, Africa would be the richest continent. God is not responding to how much you cry. God is responding to his words. Are you hearing me? God is responding to his will. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything in accordance with his will, the Bible didn't say he will hear us. The Bible says he heareth us. And are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is the hack into his will. Praying. For the Spirit intercede for us according to the will of God. Are you hearing me? Now, it is when you arrive at that point that verse 28 actually makes sense. Listen to me. Let's go to verse 28 now and let's look at verse 28. And we know with great confidence. Give me normal King James. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called. How did you arrive at that according to his will? So in reality, sir, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Come, Edward. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Stand here. Face this way. Edward is the will of God. Is that right? Where God wants you to arrive, that God can answer you, is here. This is your prayer. Are you hearing me? Just this is your prayer. Are you hearing me? And I am the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? So you are praying. Be praying. You are praying your understanding. Praying your understanding. So as you are praying your understanding, the more you are praying your understanding, the further away you are going. Come. Your will is very strong. And the more you are praying, are you hearing me? So what the Holy Spirit does, be praying. Just be. You are going everywhere. In your prayer, you are going everywhere. Be making progress. You think you are making progress, but you are actually missing the mark. When you switch into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to drag you until you arrive at the will of God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? When you pray in the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit pulling you until you are aligned with the intents in the heart of God. So when you see us pray in the Spirit, it's not as if we are just mad people. We just no.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Have we received the word of God tonight?
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.